My name is Kyle C, and today on The Stoop, Stacy Bafeyaboah, the owner of Kenia Clothing, joins the show. We discuss her transition from Broadway professional dancer to fashion designer, what motivated her through her trials and tribulations, how she ended up with her own runway show at New York's Fashion Week, and more. We're going to be wrapping up season two of The Stoop this week, with Friday being the season finale. I will be reposting the entire season next week under one link on the Foundation site, so make sure you look out for that. And as always, to listen to more podcast shows and to check out the entire podcast catalog, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. And also, all podcast shows from South Shore Ave are available wherever you listen to podcasts. You can subscribe to the shows on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher under the name South Shore Ave. So subscribe and check it all out, all right? Cool. It's The Stoop on South Shore Ave Radio. Let's go. Welcome to The Stoop. My next guest is the owner and founder of Kenia, and she also had one hell of a summer, which is also a great thing, by the way. She's also here to join us to talk about that and some other things as well. Please welcome Stacy Bafeyaboah to the show. How you doing, girl?
Hey, how are you? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I got the last name right. I did it, right? I got it right?
You did it.
Gold star for me.
That's it.
All right. So you know what? I got some questions to ask you. Just first one right off the bat. Just explain to the people what is Kenia and what kind of clothing line that you got going on.
So Kenia is a luxury sweatshirt and t-shirt line. Everything that we design with the brand is made out of sweatshirt and t-shirt material. Okay. But the whole idea is not to be in your gym clothes, not running around in gym clothes. This is comfortable clothing that's fashionable. This is designed in really, really super good, comfortable fabric.
From what I remember, because I do remember, we go back a little bit, so I do remember when the clothing line did start initially.
Right.
What did it start? Am I wrong here? Did it start off as like kind of like a yoga line first?
Yeah, it started as that. So I was a professional dancer first. So I used to dance on Broadway, did film, television, commercials, that sort of thing. And I was always loving the way I felt in my dance clothes. But I love fashion and I love the way fashion looks, but there was no pieces that were in between. There was not a niche market for in between fitness and fashion. So I started making my own clothes. It was actually a yoga studio was the first studio that actually asked me to make a line for them. Mm-hmm. And so when I did that line for them, I started making kind of yoga inspired clothes, but not that you would wear to yoga class, but kind of post class.
Okay.
And that's where it came. That's where it came along.
So everything always has a beginning, right? So
yes.
Before Kenia became a reality and before you were selling product and you're having success, like where did this all start for you? Like what was the initial idea or situation that sparked your direction into clothing?
Well, that was pretty much it. Like I tell you, I grew up in Ottawa, then I moved to Toronto and I was dancing at Wonderland, actually Canada's Wonderland. From there, I did a couple cruise ships and then I went and I danced on Broadway. So I was living in New York City. I was dancing on Broadway. I've never been kind of pick skinny, you know, dancer type body.
Right.
And I always wanted to make clothes. I grew up with a sewing machine. So I always wanted to make clothes that would look amazing on me to go to and from auditions. Mm-hmm. And when I was making them, people kept asking me, where'd you get that? And I said, I made it. And then they said, can you make me one? And it just kind of evolved into this thing where people just kept asking me to make them one. And then finally I had this line that seemed to work. And I remember the first time though, like there was a girl, she was going into a Duane Reade, which is like a Shopper's Drug Mart. Mm-hmm. And she was wearing her pajama pants. And I thought, you know what? You should not be wearing your pajama pants
no,
in public. But she was striving to be comfortable and she had nothing to wear. So this was the reason why she was doing it. And I thought there's really a good market for comfortable clothing that's not gym clothes
right
out there. And that's when I can't even start it.
Because, I mean, yeah, I mean, as guys, like, you can still, for us, I mean, we always have, you know, like, jogging pants and sweat tops. So now we got, like, fitted jogging pants and things like that. That's our comfort, right? But I know for women, you still want to, you know, want to make it look good and a little different, right?
Exactly. So I still like to make all the pieces that are fashion pieces. So we have blazers, we've got wrap sweaters, we've got dresses, pencil skirts, all sorts of things. But it's made in a sweatshirt fabric. So now the fabric is custom milled. You get the fabric milled in Montreal. So it's a cotton lycra or bamboo lycra fabric, but it doesn't look like sweatshirt material.
Right.
But when you're wearing it, you definitely know.
You have that difference. Feel.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you know what? And shout out to the girl that gave you the vision with the pajamas. I mean, like,
that's back, it, right?
Back then it was tacky, and guess what? In 2017, it's still a little tacky. You still can't do that now. There's never a good time to go out in the no. It's never a good time to go out in pajamas, never.
Right, that's it.
And from what I understand, you not only had your parents, but your boyfriend, who is now your husband, help you start this line. Like, how did you sell them on your vision? Was the passion just coming out of you, like coming out of your pores?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, you know, like when I started doing it, like I said, my first order was kind of a big order to do this line for the yoga studio. So I basically said yes to the studio owner without having a business name, without having anything really. She said, can you make a line for me? And I said, yeah. So at that point in time, went and bought a better serger. And at that, you know, I had to get the pieces done. So I basically recruited who I knew was closest to me. Mm-hmm. And my mom and dad were like, okay, I'll cut threads, we'll cut fabric. And my then boyfriend, now husband, was quality control. So we were just all in my bedroom just making it happen. It was just really to get that order out. And then it just kind of evolved from there.
Yeah, it's all steps at the beginning, right? That's personally.
That's it. Yeah.
But that's got to be crazy though, because you started off being a Broadway dancer, and then you took this path to being like a fashionista, or you know, having your own clothing line. Like that's
yeah.
I mean that's huge, because I mean you're on Broadway. I mean most people strive to get there, you know. So
yeah,
I think that's crazy too.
Like I feel like my vision was always to be, I love dance. Dancing is my passion. Dancing is where my soul lives. I'm a dancer. I love it. But the thing is, even in high school, I always wanted to be a fashion designer. Right. It was one of those things that I always loved, and I was happy and grateful that I was able to get to Broadway, but I knew it wasn't going to be forever. Like, you can't dance for the rest of your life. And I think I knew that early, and I was fortunate to know that, you know, at some point in time, my bones are going to get rickety. Yeah. and I got to stop dancing. So, you know, I knew that going into it. And it was something that I always wanted to do with fashion, but I didn't really know where and when it was going to happen.
Right.
So having them kind of mold the way they did was really, really helpful.
Okay. So you eventually changed career paths and became a clothing entrepreneur. And from what, you know, I understand, you know, I have a family I got lots of family members who are entrepreneurs as well. And because you went down that path, I understand, of course, the road isn't always smooth, right?
No,
So if I could ask, was there any doubts that you had during this journey or during this ride that maybe you weren't going to be successful or you weren't going to make it? Like, if I could ask, like, what did those days or moments look like?
Well, I think the difference is with me is I didn't just stop what I was doing to be a business owner. Mine just kind of evolved into what it is, which makes it a bit safer than just saying I'm going to do this and then start. Mm-hmm. So it makes it like I didn't just quit my job and then start this thing. It just kind of evolved and then kind of snowballed into a business. So for that, I was fortunate. But you know what? It's not easy. People always look at me, they say, you're always smiling, you're laughing, you're having such a good time all the time. And I said, you know what? You have no idea behind the scenes. I never really had self-doubt in the fact of, am I going to make it? But I always knew, I was like, is it worth it? Because it is so much work. Mm-hmm. Like, I sleep, breathe, and eat this business. Like, it's nonstop every day. The last thing I think about at night, the first thing I think about in the morning, it's always on my mind. And some days you're wondering, like, I could just get a job, Tim Hortons, you know, just ask people what their order is, you know, make it really simple. Mm-hmm. But my passion is what keeps me going. You know, I'm so passionate about it. I love it. I love the way I make people feel in their clothing. I love to see the response when they have the things on. And then I just know you got to keep checking. You got to take the leap of faith. You got to jump, and then it works out.
Well, and that's the thing about passion. I think a lot of people don't. I think a lot of people underestimate that fact. Once you have, like, if you don't have passion in that, on top of that vision, it's just a wish. Like, you're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna have that steam to basically carry you through, right?
That's it. And I feel like many people, I see young fashion designers, they get out of school and they're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a big designer in a year from now. And I say, you know what? Good luck with that, because it doesn't come that easy. You got to know your target market. You got to know how to sell. And I think most importantly, you got to almost step out of the designer and step into the entrepreneur, which is kind of the hardest portion of it,
right?
You know, in dance and in fashion. A lot of times creatives just want to be creative, and that's amazing if you have someone to run the business. But
right.
Running the business, that balance is kind of the hardest portion of it. And when you can kind of master that, like kind of fuse the two of them together, like a really good balancing act, is when you really start to see the success happening.
Success, I always say, is almost like a geese, like traveling on the pond, right? Like they look very graceful and, you know, looking like nothing's bothering him, but if you look underneath, the legs are kicking like crazy, right?
kicking, and it's constant. Like, you know, too, like on this surface, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of art, but underneath, the work that went on is so much work to make it look that at that level, you know? And I think the work, no matter where you are, what level you are in business, I think the work always is there. It just changes, the shifts as to what you're working on. But it's still a continuation of, like, those little legs are flapping,
right.
Flapping underneath. Yeah.
No, no question. So what was the moment that showed you that, you know what, Stacy, I'm going to stay on this path? Those days, those sleepless nights, those days where I'm wondering that, man, maybe I should go get a marketing job, or, you know, maybe I should go do this or do that. Like, what was the, was there a moment or a series of events that showed you, you know what, nah, I'm going to stick with this. Like, I can start to see this light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I don't know if I really had a moment. Like, cause I really, when I started on it, I just kept working through it and just kept working through it. But I remember at one point in time, it was really, I had a kind of a dark time after my son was born. I was out of work for 9 months because I had post-pregnancy hypertension.
Oh, okay.
I was really sick, so I wasn't able to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was teaching Pilates. I'm Pilates certified as well. And I was teaching Pilates and running the fashion design line. And I was with one of my clients when I went back to work. And I said to her, like, why am I doing this fashion design line? Like, really? Like, it's so much work when I can just really teach Pilates, get paid well, have a couple clients a day, and call it a day.
Right.
And shortly after that, I had gone into a classroom. I was teaching in a marketing class. And the teacher of the marketing class, who is now one of my employees, he started working with me. So he's still working with me now. It's been 3 years, but he kind of saw the vision. It was almost like seeing it from somebody else's perspective who wasn't in it since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he didn't see my struggle from the beginning, and he just saw it. And he was like, Stacy, what is it that you want to do? Where do you want to build it to? And getting that kind of fresh, new energy involved, I was like, I think that was one of the big turning points for me to realize, you know what, this is worth it. He sees it. He's in it. He sees how far I've come. At that point, I've already been in the business for, you know, like 10 years or so.
Right.
And now he comes in and sees it with fresh eyes, and he's like, you can do this. Let's do this. I'm here to help you. And so his name's Arfi Lalani, but he's one of the guys who does all my graphics and brand visuals right now.
Okay.
And I'm grateful for him, because it was almost like seeing it from another perspective really helped me to say, okay, I'm ready to take it to the next level.
Yeah. So it's like that person gave you that boost, like that battery in your back, and said, you know what, like you can still do it.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Sometimes when you know, my family and friends are all supportive of me, but when they're seeing you from the get-go, I've been doing this business now for 14 years. So when they've been seeing it for 14 years, if I'm going to say, oh yeah, I'm going to take it to this level, it's easy to say, even for yourself, to say, you know what, am I really going to get there? Is that really going to happen? Same with your family. Like, they've been watching it for so long. You know, it's like watching a movie. Like, you know the end. You've been watching it. But when someone else new comes into that picture, they can see a whole different ending. They can see something new. They bring a new kind of set of life to the game. And so it really helped me to kind of restart all over again. And I think, you know, in hindsight, taking that 9 months off with my son, though it was difficult because I was so sick, it made me realize, what is it that I really want from this business? Like, if I wasn't able to do this, like, now I know, what is it that you really want? When I was ready to go back and I thought, this is what I want. I want to build a brand. This is not just about me doing a hobby anymore. This mm-hmm. is me trying to build a brand, a legacy, and I'm ready to hit it. So mm-hmm. I came back with like gangbusters kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. Yeah.
That's not by accident, right? Because sometimes you need that. That's a blessing, because I think sometimes you need either an event or somebody to come and say, hey, you know, whisper in your ear, you know what? No, you're on the right path. Like, I see it too. It's not just you and, you know, or like a few other people. It's, you know, you're getting a fresh set of eyes saying, no, I see that tree over there. I see it. There's fruit on that tree. Let's do this. You know,
I think that's
really cool. So this summer, quite the experience, I'd say, right? Just to, right? Yeah. Slightly, right? Right?
Slightly.
so I understand that you had done a few runway shows before, including World MasterCard Fashion Week in Toronto a couple of years ago, right? So what was the events that led the organizers of the New York Fashion Week to get a hold of you to do their show?
To be honest, I don't know. I still to this day don't know. But I know that in 2015, it was the last year of the World MasterCard Fashion Week, 2015, my line presented. I was over the moon excited about that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I had gotten another invitation to do, you know, a couple little runway shows in New York, but I thought, you know, it wasn't really it. And then this March, I got an invitation to do New York Fashion Week. And I thought, this is incredible. And, you know, I got the email first, and it was amazing to get this email. Then I talked to one of the producers, and he was, you know, giving me all the details. And I thought, how on earth am I going to do this? It's March, and my show needs to be presented in September. Mm-hmm. And that might seem like a long time in regular world, but it's not that long in fashion world.
No, it's not.
So, and budget. Budget was a whole nother deal. So my first insecurities came in and said, there's no way, I can't do it. I can't get models, hair, makeup, like budget, all this stuff together. And then something came over me, and it was kind of like that same feeling that I had when I was, you know, when I got better after being sick, and saying to myself, what would you do if you just could do it? Like, if you just had nothing holding you back, would you do it or not? And I thought, of course I would do this. There's no way that I would not take this opportunity. And I knew that if I actually went on Facebook or went on somewhere vocal, public, mm-hmm. and said I was doing it, I don't want to fail publicly. So right. I knew that by saying it to the public, I'd have to do it. So I remember I said yes to the director, producers, and then I went on Facebook and I said, hey, I'm doing this. And then that was it. That was kind of where it started.
You kind of used Facebook as like a vision board, right?
That's it.
Okay.
You know what? I feel like a lot of people, they keep their ideas to themselves, and it's really important to do that, to keep them close to you.
Right.
But when you're ready to do something, it really, when you tell somebody else you're doing it, it kind of makes yourself accountable, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden someone's going to be like, oh, I thought you said you were doing New York Fashion Week. Yeah. You know, you can't back down now, because now you're there, you've said it publicly, so now you have to do what it takes to make it happen.
Well, plus it makes it real, right? Like it actually makes it like more tangible now, that it's almost something you can touch now when you're telling it, as you're saying, the accountability factor is there. But it just, because I'm sure you probably saw the video of you saying it, because I saw your Facebook account, I saw the video, and I was like, wow, yo, that's incredible. And I'm like,
right?
So I didn't know you were having, you know, like maybe like little doubts about it, but I was like, yo, that's amazing. I hope you go down this path. I hope you see this through. Because that's not every day you get that phone call as a fashion designer. I mean, by any means,
no.
Right?
It's the highest level of fashion.
Right.
But I thought at the same time, it was, you know, the original budget was $150,000. I thought, how am I going to pull that together in this short amount of time? But I thought, you know what? It's not about how. It's about what you want to do, because you can figure it out.
Yeah.
You're going to figure it out. You're going to figure it out, but don't sit here and think, figure it out without doing it. Because if you sit there and try to figure it out, you'll never figure it out by the time the the time comes. So say yes and then figure it out in the way. Right. That's kind of been my motto since I've started.
I think that's just, think that's a smart way to go. It's just, yeah, it's like you got to see the vision, but you got to also work towards that goal, right? Like you, if in order for it to happen.
That's it, for sure. I think so many times we take too long to just do it. You know, I mentor a couple of students from one of the fashion schools in Ottawa, and they come to me and they say, well, what if this and what if that and how come this and how come that and what if I need to learn this and need to learn that? And I said, you know what, just do it. Just do something. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, if you don't just do something, even I'm still learning 14 years later.
Right.
There's always something to learn. If you're waiting to learn it all, you'll always be learning and you'll never just do it. Once you're in it and you do it, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's like I always say, you know, I jump into the deep end and then you learn how to swim quick.
Right.
Because all of a sudden you're in. If you don't swim, you'll drown. But if you stand on the sidelines and you're kind of thinking, okay, I'm going to wait to jump because I need to learn how to, you know, how to do my life jacket or how to do this special swim technique, you know, you may never get there because the techniques keep changing. They've got new life jackets all the time. They've got, you know what I mean? So just jump. Just go in. Just go in the water and you'll figure it out.
And plus, at the same time, you don't want to like look back at a situation like that one day and be like, man, I was actually governed by my own fears and I didn't pull this off. You know what I mean?
That's it.
Yeah. You don't want that opportunity to pass you by either.
That's it.
So, you know what? Just if you can, just take the listeners behind the curtain as much as you can. Now, what goes on from the time that you hang up the phone and say, you know what, I'm going to agree to do this, to the day that the first model walks down your runway in New York City?
Okay. So the first order of action was we had to sign a contract, first of all, saying that we are going to be doing New York Fashion Week. So we had a contract, we had clauses, and we had deposits. So we had to pay every, you know, 2.5 weeks. I had to pay deposits all the way down to the show. So that was the financial aspect of it. But then in terms of the rest of it, I needed to get sponsorship. So I went straight on to Facebook again, put a Facebook Live out to have sponsors. We put a sponsorship package together. We started doing all of the digital kind of business aspect, trying to, you know, get to gain sponsorship so I can actually do this show. And it ended up working because we had a lot of people coming together, not just financial sponsorship, but a lot of in-kind sponsorship, meaning photographers, models, hair and makeup.
Okay.
All sorts of things came for videographers. People just came out of the woodwork saying, I'll shoot your video. I'll write your press release. I'll model for you. I'll do photography. So what happened is the people all came together that made that budget made sense. And then from there, I started doing the samples. So I get all my fabric custom made and custom dyed.
Right.
So I had fabric that I already had spun and dyed that I haven't used the colors for. So I pulled those ones out, started making all my sample collection pieces. I always think about what the intention is behind my shows. For this show, I really wanted the intention to be about the situation I was going through. And the situation I was going through was actually, I felt like a warrior. I felt like I had a fight to win, and I had to feel powerful. I had to feel creative. I had to feel inspired. I had to feel all these things. And so I wanted my girl to portray this kind of warrior-esque type feeling where when no matter where you're going in life, no matter if you're just walking to pick up your child at daycare or you're going in for a new job interview or you're going to, I don't know where you're going to, but you're wearing your Tania clothing and you can feel like you can conquer the world. And that's kind of the feeling that I wanted. So I got these headpieces made, or we all made the headpieces. So I had this kind of feathered, white feathered headpieces, like warrior girls. And put the pieces together. I had a choreography. So I used to be a dancer on Broadway, like I told you guys. Mm-hmm. I had a choreographer put together a dance for me. So I Skyped with him. He's from New York City. We Skyped together. I told him my inspiration, the girls that I wanted in the show, how tall, what, you know, specifications of them I wanted. He put together the choreography. And that was kind of it. We had the clothes, we had the dancers, you know, we rented all the shoes. We got there, so we ended up flying there a week before the show. We were there for a week. when we get there into the show, we fly into New York City with 5 suitcases. We have casting. We cast all the models in New York City.
Oh, okay.
So all the models were casted from there.
Oh, so you didn't bring them with you from
Ottawa? No, okay. I had got all the models from New York.
Wow.
So we casted them on the Sunday. After that, we did fittings the next day. I had dance rehearsals 3 days while I was there. And then it was the day of the show on Friday. So that's kind of the whole kind of passage. And we've been working on it, I guess, since March. It was pretty much March when it started.
Is this like something where like next year you're looking back to do this again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It's such a great experience. It's a lot of, you get a lot of feedback. You get a lot of, you know, people knowing who you are, which is amazing. So the next one is going to be in February. So I'm already looking up, planning that process right now so that it doesn't get as, you know, chunked up as it was this time around. So we're looking at what the show is going to be like, where it's going to be, all this kind of stuff already.
Okay. Now, was Tiana Taylor one of the models that came to come and be one of the models for your gig? No? No?
No.
Ugh, damn it.
Right?
Damn it.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, no. that would have been very nice. I think I might have ran from Toronto all the way down to New York just to try to see
her. Right,
that.
Just to see her, right? You were like, where is she? Oh my God.
Me and just the army of friends just running down.
I'm sure. There would have been a big army for that. Absolutely.
How has this whole experience changed you since? Like, is there anything that from this experience that you could use going forward? Or how has it just changed you as a whole?
I think just as a whole, it just, you know, opened my eyes to a new standard of living. I think a lot of times you have to get to the point where you're going to raise yourself or raise your own standards. And I think from doing shows, I've been doing shows, the most remarkable thing was being in New York City and thinking, oh my goodness, it's so nerve-wracking. When I got there, I realized I've already got this. I've been doing this for years. And it kind of felt empowering to know that. So with that, my standards raised. Now it felt like I need to do this every year. It needs to be something that is part of who I am and what my brand is. Mm-hmm. So it felt really good for that. And it also, you know, made people also see me in a different light. Whereas yesterday, I was the same girl doing the same clothes. And now today, people are like, oh my goodness, it's that New York Fashion Week girl. You know, it really, it changes the perspective and the perception of who you are. So that's it's a big deal.
Now you're signing autographs, kissing babies, just like a politician. You're going through the whole life now.
People want to take my pictures. Funny.
You're like, what the hell? Can I please finish going grocery shopping, please? Like, can I?
This is it. Exactly. So funny.
So I have two more questions left, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah.
But what are your next steps now that after like accomplishing something like this, like where do you see yourself for the next like 5 years now going forward? Is Paris now in your sights?
Oh, I've always wanted to do Paris, okay. Milan and London. I would love to do them all. I think it's great. I love to travel, so it's all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my next step is just really like honing in on the business. You know, as much as like the shows are really beautiful and it's all really great, you really got to make sure that you've got a business. You know, so I'm really working at online sales, in-store sales, wholesales, like working at all the avenues, revenue streams that we have, but we can continue to grow the brand and not just make it picture perfect, but make it actual feasible. And yeah, that's what I'm working at right now.
That's awesome. Honestly, Stacey, that's awesome. So here's my last question. So every summer, almost every year, you participate in Toronto's Caravana festivities.
That's
meaning you play mass, basically, for the people who don't know. So you're normally in costume every single year and you take in the entire experience and, you know, just like a West Indian should. And that's awesome. And that's what you're supposed to do. I just have to ask, are the rumors true that you play in heels every year?
Of course.
Here's my next question. Hold on. Here's my next question. Let me find it. Here it is. How?
You know.
How, Sway? How?
Listen, it wasn't every year. The last 2 years or so, 2 or 3 years, I think it was. So I've been playing Caravana Mass. I've been playing Mass for 10 years.
Right.
And I always see, and we always bring some bad running shoes. And I'm thinking, you have this gorgeous costume, and why does everybody wear these bad running shoes? So I was always the girl in the gladiator flats or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago, I saw these knee-high, thigh-high boots. And I thought, I'm good in heels. I used to dance in heels for my life. And I wore them.
A good point.
And from then, changed my life.
That's
Can't
a good
go
point.
Back to bad running shoes.
That's a good point. I never thought about it from the dancer perspective. That's because I was going to say, listen, I don't play Mass. Like, I've always said, if I go to Trinidad, the next time I go to Trinidad for Carnival, I will absolutely play Mass. I don't normally do it in Toronto. But, you know, yeah. For many years, I've always gone down to the lakeshore. And, you know, you walk the whole route. I know it's changed now. But before, yeah. When it went all the way down lakeshore, like, you walk the whole route. And usually, listen, I have to admit, yes, I was one of those. I was a reform stormer. Like, yes, I used to come in charge. Yes, I was one of those people back in the day. I'm not even going to deny it. But, but going down the path, and it's, you know, it takes about, I would say, at least 3 hours. Usually by the time I'm done and I'm not playing Mass, usually my feet are like, man, good Lord, my feet are sore. So I'm like, are your heels sponsored by Nike? Do they have Zoom technology? Like, is like,
No. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. I'm a fashion designer. Remember that part?
Right.
Under my backpack, I always have a pair of Nikes.
Oh, see?
Backup.
Oh, you see? You're cheating the game. You have it back,
you know,
there.
You got to walk to the show in your Nikes. You walk to the parade in your Nikes. You can't tire out your foot because if it's too tired, you can't make it. So I walked to the show on my Nike. I made like a almost like a fishnet backpack that I put underneath the feathers in the back.
I see. Okay.
And then I switch it out when I'm there. If I go to sit down to eat, I switch back, and then I go out and dance again in my heels. So you see, I keep switching back and forth.
I see. See, as a guy, like for me, like I'm never gonna have that problem because I'm always gonna be wearing low cut sneakers or Air Force
That's
Ones
it.
Or something for me. But you know, I see some women in heels too, and I'm always like, all right, like, wow, you guys are insane. Like, I love the look. I get it. I love the entire look of it. But I'm like, man, your feet must be like, you got to soak your feet in ice by the time you're done.
Yeah, it's true. But honestly, growing up dancing, I had to dance in heels all my shows.
Mm-hmm.
You're trained to do all sorts of dance in heels. Even my girlfriend, so you work a whole, you know, 8-16 hour days wearing heels, but don't get it. And I said, for me, my foot can only either do running shoes or heels. I'm not really great in flats. Mm-hmm. So that my foot's been trained to it, so for that reason I can manage it.
you could do it. It's not something you would recommend for everybody else to do.
I don't recommend it because if you can't walk in heels, it doesn't look good.
No, not at all. No one needs to be twisting their ankle walking down the hill broke foot.
Exactly.
No one needs
exactly.
to be broke foot rocking down. So
that's
listen
it.
Hey, listen, congratulations on your continued success. Thank you so much for coming on the Stoop and just explaining your story, because like I said, you know, when talking with you before, I saw the path from like earlier this year, and I'm like, yo, I've just been watching the story almost like a movie, like on Facebook and different social media sites. And I'm like, yo, this is an amazing story. So, you know, I'm glad
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm glad you came out here just to tell it and let the people, you know, let everybody know like this path that you're on. I think it's amazing.
That's it. And I think, you know what, I'm happy to be like a pioneer for what it is, but the modern day pioneer. And I encourage anybody who has a dream, whatever they want to do, to just go for it. Just do it. Just believe in what it is and just continue to do it, because that's really what has brought me to this point.
Right. Just say yes. Figure it out later.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then my last, well, the last thing, where can the people get your clothing? Where can the ladies get your clothing? Like plug your stuff.
Yes.
Let's go. Plug
so
your stuff.
Here we go. So you can purchase it directly online at kania.ca. So that's www.kania.ca. And there you can purchase all the luxury sweatshirts. We do have a couple pieces for men that we just started. We had 2 men's pieces walk down the runway this time. And we'll be doing a full men's collection next season,
okay,
which is really exciting. And then you can also purchase at our store at 145 York Street in Ottawa. And there's also some storefront locations, which you can look at our website at kania.ca as well.
Okay, that's awesome. Once again, congratulations. Congratulations and continued success for sure.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
And listen, and listeners as well, the holiday season's coming up, man. You got to look at this line. Don't play around.
That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you all for tuning in to this edition of The Stoop. As always, I'm grateful that you lent me your ears. Special shout out goes out to Stacey Bafeyeboah for coming on and sharing her story about her clothing line, Kania, and her experience at New York Fashion Week. Much love and continued success to this woman for never stopping and making constant moves towards her goals. Listen, that New York Fashion Week situation is a very big deal, and honestly, it should be celebrated as such. To check out her luxury Canadian sweatshirt line, log on to kania.ca, that's K-A-N-I-A.ca, to check out the rest of the collection. As I mentioned before, we're wrapping up season 2 of The Stoop this Friday with a special guest. You're not going to want to miss this one, so stay tuned for that. I repeat, stay tuned for that. To listen to more podcast shows and to check out the rest of the podcast archives, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. And you can also subscribe to South Shore Ave on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. The Ave podcast are back up and running with the release of the NBA preview episodes of the Eastern and Western Conference last week. And we'll also have a lot more episodes in general coming down the pipeline to wrap up 2017. So new listeners, get familiar and check us out. For Stacey Bafeyeboah, this is Kyle C. And you've just tuned in to The Stoop on South Shore Ave Radio. Until the next podcast, folks, peace. We out.